When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's poppin', everybody? It's me, Jazzy J, but don't worry, I'm not the one true host. I just have a special announcement before the actual episode begins, and Ben's here too. He let me do this part, thanks.
Yeah. Figured you could do like the grand lead in, you know? It feels like a very J momentous occasion.
Well,
to celebrate.
Well, thanks so much, although I think both of us are celebrating here, because what we are announcing is that we are going on tour.
We are indeed.
Yes, with our other podcast, Through the Gryffindor. We're calling it Through the Gryffindor. If you're unfamiliar with the podcast, it is a chapter-by-chapter read-through book club-style podcast of the entire Harry Potter series. And we are doing a little mini East Coast tour later this year in June. We're starting in Boston, then going to New York City, Philadelphia, and ending in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. We're going to be doing like live recordings of the episode, so if you're like there in person, you'll get to hear it for the very first time before it goes out into the airwaves. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's also going to be like a Q&A and trivia, and there's like an opportunity for like a meet and greet ticket as well, if that's something you might be interested in. Tickets are on sale now.
Yes, unless you're listening at like 6 in the morning when this just came out, but otherwise, if it's past 10, they're on sale now.
Be sure to go and check them out. It's gonna be so much fun.
Yeah, there should be links in the show notes right now, so we hope to see you there. And now on with the real one true host.
Ha ha!
Yay.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
All right, cut the crap, Ben. I need your opinion on something.
Lay it on me.
All right, so this past weekend.
Yes, past weekend.
We had brunch.
We sure
at
did.
Our parents' house.
Yeah, mom and dad's.
And
delicious.
I, the night before, had baked some oatmeal raisin cookies.
Ah, look at the little roll on the R, adding a little emphasis.
You know, I feel like I've become really good at rolling my R's.
You know, I can't do it even at all.
You can't at all.
It's like, yeah. And this was my least favorite part about taking Spanish classes, is I actually thought I was like doing medium-ish to okay at like getting the accent type thing right and everything, but could not do the R's to save my life. And it would just make me so sad.
This is like one of those things when I was in high school, people would be like, can you roll your R's? And I'd be like, I don't think I knew what people meant, but all that, I guess what they mean is like that. Like roll your R's. Can you really? Is pretty obvious, you know. You're just making computer static or TV static.
Is that not what you're doing?
You're going, that's what you're doing.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Let me try again.
Nailed it.
Was that not it? No.
That was, you're basically, yeah, yes, absolutely. Yes. What a romantic sounding sound that
now,
was.
Now I can add so much flair to my everyday discussions.
There you go.
I can say oatmeal crazy cookies.
Oh man. Okay, but so I brought the raisin cookies to mom and dad's for everyone to try. And what did you think?
Okay. I gotta level with people.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think that this would happen. I really didn't, you know. But you showed up. You had oatmeal raisin cookies.
Yeah.
They looked delicious, mm-hmm. as they always do.
Yeah.
I mean, to the credit of the oatmeal raisin cookie, they always look great.
Yeah, that's no one's complaint.
No, nobody's issue. I mean, in really, because I think there must be something about the raisin itself that so closely resembles the far superior chocolate chip once melted.
Yeah.
They looked amazing. I picked one up and I was like, I have to do it. I have to consume it, you know, solidarity.
Right, for the content.
Yeah, for that and because you're my dear brother and you've eaten many of my own baked goods.
Yeah, I've suffered through them.
You have indeed. And so I was like, okay, I'm doing it. Here we go. And I mean, it's like one of those things where, like, have you seen the movie Elemental? Like when Wade is like eating the charred nuts, and he's like, oh,
right, yes.
One of the funniest scenes of the whole movie. So I'm going through that whole experience. I chomp down. It was actually really good.
Yes.
It was really good.
Amazing.
I will absolutely credit you with having made what I can honestly say was the best oatmeal raisin cookie I've ever eaten.
Well, that is what it, wow. Thank you so much. Thank
you
so much.
You're welcome.
I will say that I'm not sure that they should be called oatmeal raisin cookies, but not like butter raisin cookies.
Was it mostly butter?
I
mean,
when I remember it, like I was looking at the recipe and I go to get a stick of, I'm like, I need butter. Okay. Got a stick out. And I'm like, how much does it need? And it's like, however many. And I look at the side and I'm like, wait, is this only half? And I'm like, I checked the math like four times and I'm like, I didn't put two whole sticks of butter in here. So I did.
Well, if it makes you feel any better at all, my chocolate chip cookie recipe also calls for two whole sticks of butter.
Perhaps so. I don't make enough cookies to understand what is an appropriate amount of butter. But anyway, yeah, I was making them the night before. Beth had gone to like a bachelorette party of sorts or some, I don't know. She had like so many social engagements last weekend. My wife's very popular.
Oh, and yeah, I know. I've witnessed it.
You're familiar.
Hand.
You know her. Yeah. Very bubbly person. She was off doing something, so I'm sitting there watching the kids, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a great dad kids activity. Let's make cookies.
Yeah.
You know, I thought this was going to be a huge hit. Huge hit. We're making them. And they're like, what are you making? Like, what are you making? I was like, we're making oatmeal raisin cookies. And Luke, word for word, goes, why would you tell me that?
That a boy, Luke.
I just hate raisins. I'm like, what? You don't want to help me make the cookies? He's like, just no. Like, why would you even tell me it's happening?
Right.
Like, as if I could care at all. And then I'm like, Nick, Nate, do you guys want to help me make the oatmeal raisin cookies? They're just like, they're all appalled that I'm making them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, like, come on now, you're only four. You don't know yet. This is, you haven't, no.
No, it's no. An instinctual reaction.
That is what I learned, is that it is an instinctual reaction to oatmeal raisin cookies. If before I thought it was a learned thing, false. This is just people's natural reaction.
Yeah.
It is an acquired taste. It takes only one tasting, I think, to acquire it.
No, here's the thing. I thought about this a lot after our big conversation, the great raisin debate of 24.
Right.
And I think the real source of this probably goes back to the delivery of the raisins in the first place.
Yeah.
Which I feel like when you're a kid and you're going to like summer camps or like elementary school or like whatever, it seems like there were occasions where treats were meant to be had, where like the adults in charge decided that like, hey, you know what? Instead of candy, we'll give them raisins.
Raisins.
It's nature's candy.
It's basically fruit.
Yeah.
And it's like, practically good for you.
I think that's exactly it. I think the problem is that raisins were delivered in such a way where it was kind of like, it was like, wait, no, hold on. Wait, what?
Wait.
You thought that giving us a treat included raisins.
Right.
That this is a viable substitute for candy. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward in life more, you join the Boy Scouts or what have you, and you're on your first backpacking outing, and they're like, hey guys, we brought Gorp. And you're like, what's Gorp? And it's like, well, it's trail mix, but we call it Gorp because that's fun.
It's fun.
And it's like, okay, sure. What's in the trail mix? And it's like, oh, well, you're going to love it. There's like peanuts and M&Ms and raisins. And it's like, wait a second. What?
What was that one?
It's like, hold on. Are you putting in like a smaller percentage of M&Ms overall to try to like offset the inclusion of the raisin in the trail mix? And I'm like, that is the case. That's why they're doing it.
You think? Yeah, right.
I think that there's a world where raisins kind of have this like overall branding problem. You know, it's like they're like too frequently like being like snuck in. You know, it's like they're trying to like make like raisins fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like stop.
We're just like, what if we put them in cookies? We'll just like make it fun.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This is what I mean. It's like, okay, cookies are already not healthy. Let's not try to like like offset. Let's not try to like be like, hey, okay, we'll use raisins instead of chocolate. That'll make it better, right? It's like, no, you're already eating a cookie. You may as well just eat the cookie.
You may as well just eat the cookie. Know, yeah, like, you're right. Raisins do have a branding problem. Enter Jay.
Enter Jay.
We're going to save the raisins. You know what though? On the complete opposite end of this, this I think is why Raisin Bran is so successful, because they're not masquerading as health food. It's bran. I mean, they're not masquerading as like we're better than we are. It's raisins and bran.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah. So I feel like this is a prime example, because bran by itself, one awful name for any food that you're supposed to eat.
You know what? This is what. See, you're right, because like you have raisin cookie, it's like raisin is the worst word.
Yeah.
But you go raisin bran, it's like raisins sound amazing.
It's because the only thing I'm less likely to eat than raisins is bran cereal.
Right.
Like if it was like, this is a box of only bran flakes, it would be like, what?
Yeah.
Why would anybody even make such food?
They sell it. It exists.
Okay. Well, they shouldn't. But I do think that this is exactly why Raisin Bran does in fact work, because they allowed it to be the star of its show instead of trying to incorporate it into a show in which it has no business.
Well, I mean, you say it appears to have no business.
It appears to have no business.
On reception. But of course, then once you take the delicious, buttery, cinnamony bite of an oatmeal raisin cookie, you're transported into a soft, warm hug of deluxe fashion.
I even ate and enjoyed the cookie, and as you were describing this right now, it's making my insides literally physically revolt. I'm like, stop it. Stop ruining cookies.
I'm not ruining cookies.
Warm, buttery. Yeah. Oh, man. It's like, don't even get... I mean, yeah.
The true magic of an oatmeal raisin cookie, Ben, is the cinnamon inside, because after a chocolate chip cookie cools.
Oh, you did not just. You did not just.
After a chocolate chip cookie cools, you take a bite. It's enjoyable, of course, but it doesn't warm your soul. It has to remain warm for that. The cinnamon inside the oatmeal raisin cookie will warm your insides for you as you enjoy it, no matter the temperature of the cookie or the room it's in. I mean...
Are you trolling me?
I'm not trolling you.
What are you doing? I can't. I feel like you're baiting me. I feel as though I'm being, I feel like you have like a carrot on the end of a stick, and you're getting ready to try to get me to jump off a cliff with it or something.
Dude, we made a video some time ago about the scene in Frozen where Kristoff and Anna fall into the snow and like are fine because it's like powder snow.
Yeah, it's like I think Anna goes up to the edge and she's like, it's a 100-foot drop, and then Kristoff is like, it's 200. And I'm like, Kristoff, I know you know the wilderness, but like, how well?
You're gonna eyeball that?
You're gonna eyeball exactly 200?
There's no texture down there to give you any.
Yeah, exactly. It's just white fluffy
just
snow.
Just white fluff, man.
Yeah, anyway, but continue.
Anyway, he also then says that like it's like however many feet of fresh powder courtesy of one Elsa.
Yeah, Ice Queen. Ice Queen. Not Fresh Powder Queen.
Yeah, not Fresh. Yeah, Ice Queen, right. Making it snow, making it sleet more. Right? Freezing rain.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Kind of slippery, black ice kind of situation. Yeah. Not like snowman snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently it is. Yeah. But anyway, they fall and they are fine when they hit the bottom because the snow is fluffy enough to catch them. And like we made a video where... apparently, to a certain extent, this is true. Like, there is enough, like, fresh powder snow. You can fall from tremendous height, and it will catch you to some extent.
Yeah. I think the really extremely famous example that we use is that there was a World War II pilot that basically had an engine failure or was destroyed while in flight and had to evacuate the plane and didn't have a parachute.
Yeah.
And so it was basically just in a state of free fall.
Yeah.
And upon landing in this fresh snow, actually survived.
Survived the fall. Yeah, but so we were just, I was just looking through my messages on Instagram and someone had sent me a video of this guy who was skiing and like comes, like he can't quite tell that there's like a big drop off, like cliff type thing approaching.
Yeah.
And he gets near the edge and is like, oh no, and like tries to break, but like his skis like just slip and go over the edge, and he's like wearing a GoPro and he's, I mean, he is straight up falling.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is like, oh no. And then like he hits the ground and gets up and he's just like, I mean, he says thank you to the camera, like, oh my, like I have been given a second chance at life, but like he survives the fall like completely okay.
It's unbelievable.
Like, it was like I was watching like, oh my gosh, I'm about to watch someone die.
No, I can't. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, no, that's horrible. But yeah, I mean, thank goodness.
Yeah.
That is all right.
Oh, yes, I absolutely. Mean, yeah. Anyway, that just reminded me of that.
Endlessly mind-blowing. Yeah. Endlessly mind. Yeah, so it turns out, well, don't test it, but yeah, soft landings available.
Yeah, soft landings available. And, you know, if your friends make oatmeal raisin cookies, you know, just go and enjoy them, you know? No one's going to judge you for it.
I might judge them a little bit. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think that, like, I can have walked away from your cookie experience and been pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
However, I still, even if I knew, like, there is something baked into my brain, pun absolutely intended, that, like, there is something... Like it is some version of like an atrocity and
atrocity.
I don't know what it is. It's like I might even know. Like, no, I like Jay's cookies. Like his oatmeal raisin cookies are in fact not just edible, but in fact enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And yet I still feel like if you're like, yeah, I'm gonna bring my famous oatmeal raisins, I'd be like, no,
don't do it.
Come on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like I'm gonna have to like work up the gumption all of, this is honestly like when you introduce people to the glorious art that is cliff jumping, as long as we're merging these examples in such fine form. It's kind of like, you know, you find yourself overlooking the edge of like a rock ledge to jump out into the nice receptive water below.
Right, yes.
From what is otherwise...
Nice soft water.
Nice soft water. Nice soft, like a hug, I think some might describe it. Uh-huh. No, I'm just kidding. But it's the type of thing where it's like, I've seen people go, I've seen themselves work up the courage and do it each time. And each time they're kind of like, Ben, I told you I would do it once. I did it one time. We jumped. We're done. We're getting back in the boat. Let's go and do other activities now. And I feel like this is exactly like eating the raisin cookie. It's not that I think that like something catastrophic will happen. I know I'll survive the fall of eating the cookie, but I'm still going to have to work myself up again to do it.
Even though you enjoyed it.
Even though I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it doesn't change the fear that maybe that was a one-time thing or maybe I'll slip and fall while eating the oatmeal raisin cookie and then just like hit every rock on my way down to the surface of the water.
Yeah.
I've really merged the metaphors.
You really have. Yeah, no doubt.
I'm now assuming I'm eating the oatmeal raisin cookie on the edge of a cliff.
Right. Yeah. They're basically the same experience.
Basically the same experience.
Thrill-seeking behavior. Have you eaten an oatmeal raisin cookie before?
Reminder, people, it's scary, not dangerous. Unless, of course, you're allergic to oatmeal, raisin, flour, butter, any of those types of things.
Yeah, any of those sorts of things. You
know, proceed with caution.
Right. I did eventually convince Nate and Luke to try some.
Yeah.
And they did both actually enjoy them quite a bit.
Were they dismayed?
They were not. No, they enjoyed it. It was good. Although while I was making it, I had the batter ready and like, you know, like the just, which is, you know, it's all the brown sugar and the cinnamon and the... like all the good stuff you want in there. I didn't even put a raisin in there. I was like, Luke, you got to try this batter. It is insane. It's so good. I mean, he's just like, I mean, he looks at me like I am crazy.
I feel like I'm bonding with Luke right now.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to give him a high five next time I see him.
I mean, it's basically just like sugar batter, you know? Like, it's,
of course.
Yeah, I mean,
cookies are good for a reason.
I
know. Jay.
Like, I was eating it. I was like, this is so good. And I give it to him. He's just like, he pulls out like what, like one tiny oat off the spoon. Like puts it in his mouth. He goes, I hate it. I was like, there's no way. You're just trolling me right now, bro. You didn't even taste it.
Yeah. It's okay. Anyway. I mean, you've been trolling me this whole time.
But that's okay. Nate liked it. Luke eventually ate one, also liked it. So, you know,
I will say that I was very impressed with your baking skills. I thought you did a very amazing job. And I was also glad that even though I have such strong opinions about this particularly weak thing, I was like excited that the conversation itself spurred you to go and engage in some baking related behaviors.
Yeah.
Because it seems like this is like one of those things where I feel like baking is probably a prime example of something that's like people might believe it's what's the word I'm looking for? More challenging or something. But then it's like, once you get in there, it's like, oh man, now we're just rocking and rolling. Now we're just having a good time. Like,
well, it's been
the power to bake is in all of us.
Yeah. It's been on my mind to do it since we've had our discussion. And like, I've wanted to make, there's many a time I want to make cookies, but like, I felt like particularly for oatmeal raisin, like I really, really had to like seize the moment when the opportunity arose.
Carpe diem.
Yeah. Because it was one of those things where like, if even I almost had to do it by surprise, you know, like if I had like suggested making these cookies to Beth, like, hey, I'm going to make these. Like, I don't think she would have been down for it up front because one, she also would be like, why are you making oatmeal raisin cookies?
It's like, we have chocolate chips. Yeah, I know.
We have, which actually we didn't. Oh, but,
all right. Well, that's
but
weird.
Whatever. But like, and then also it would be like, no, don't make like delicious baked treats in the house. That's just going to tempt me. You're not even going to be here all day. You know, I'm going to have to walk past them 20 times and eventually break down and eat them. And, you know, it's not, you know, not great for good eating habits.
Sure.
So I was like, you know what? One, she would not want me to make them. And two, she would want me to make a different kind of cookie. And so I'm just going to have to make them while so you're not
you
here.
You had a sneak bake.
I had to have a sneak bake.
This is like such an unusual kind of story to tell where it's like, okay, so I had to wait until my wife, you know, she was out at a bachelor party or bachelorette party. So, yeah. You know, like that's the baseline. And people are like, okay, what did you do? It's like, well, I needed for her to be out of the house in order to engage in this particularly risky behavior.
Exactly.
And everybody's like, okay, what did you do?
Well, let me tell you, everyone at the house, I did meet resistance.
Yeah, people were not as on board. There was some convincing that was necessary, some preliminary tasting that happened that didn't go well.
Yeah.
You know, people just, you know, it's not what you would expect. It's like,
yeah,
like
I made cookies. Yeah.
What?
Oatmeal raisin. Oh.
Oh, yeah. And then people are like, I thought you were engaging in some type of other behaviors, but
yeah,
no.
You know, no.
But no, just the next worst thing.
There it was. Beth ate them as well and also enjoyed them.
I know.
Overall, I would say they were a success and I'm glad I made them and I'll probably make them again at some point. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, but I also like just making regular chocolate chip cookies too.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good to know. Good to be on the lookout. But I swear the one thing you must promise me you will not do is bring a plate that has mixed in oatmeal raisin and chocolate chip cookies on side of the same plate.
Oh.
It's like a minefield in there, man.
Who knows?
Don't do this to me. Don't. Anyway, so at some point in time, people are going to be like, they're going to have to rename the podcast because all they do at this point in time is basically dunk on snickerdoodle and oatmeal raisin cookies.
Snickerdoodles suck, Ben.
I'm going to make some.
If you can save snickerdoodles, good for you.
Go.
You know what? You were talking earlier about having like a repulsive reaction to something. I can feel my insides like, no, don't get sucked into this again, Jay. No, you've given snickerdoodles so many chances. The people in the comments are like, snickerdoodles are amazing. Don't kid yourself.
Why
they're
the
worst.
Yeah, there's no acceptable reason for snickerdoodles to not include nuts and chocolate and caramel.
I know. Oh, snickerdoodles came first. Doesn't matter.
They've been
superseded.
Yeah. No, it's like you gotta keep up with the times.
Keep up with the times, Snickerdoodle.
It's like Blockbuster came before Netflix, but that doesn't make Blockbuster better.
I know.
You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
rebrand yourself.
There.
Yeah.
Transition?
Transition.
All right. So interestingly, you mentioned that Beth was out at a variety of different social gatherings and whatnot in this past week.
Correct.
This is sort of interesting. So would you say in general that you would believe me to be an extrovert?
Yes, I would. I would say that of the two of us, you are more extroverted.
Okay. However, what I find to be kind of interesting, this is like only just dawned on me because I had never properly ever given this a thought. Like there is no doubt. I mean, if you've listened to the show for this long, or if you've just spent, you know, 13 minutes with me at all, you'll be aware of the fact that I'm an anxious person.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. It's basically like the key part of my DNA.
Oh, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, it's pretty woven in there.
I don't know. I feel like it's only been so present in like the more recent of the years.
Okay.
I've known you for, you know, the last, well, how old are you? 34 years.
Yeah. You have known me the whole
time.
I've
known you the whole time. And I would say that like at least 31 of those years, I wouldn't have used the word anxious to describe you even at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, so I wouldn't. No, just not. It wouldn't have even crossed my mind.
So this is really like a recent, like a breakthrough or a break backwards or something. I don't know.
It's a change.
It's a change. Something happened.
Something. Or maybe you've always been this way. You've just gotten like worse at hiding it. Or
that's really what I'm learning in therapy. It's like, Ben, it's okay to let people know that you're anxious about things. Yeah. Just talk about it all the time.
Just talk about it.
No problem.
Permission received.
No, but what's funny is that for the most part, like whenever people have talked to me before, because I'm pretty open about it, so people have like sort of been open in return. One of the things that people often say is that they have like social anxiety, like this idea of like going to gatherings
like a party,
and such like that. Yeah, like the sort of like concern about being in those types of equations. And because I would normally even like, you know, sort of like identify as or even just like be able to like observe my own behaviors being that of someone who is extroverted, I've always kind of been like, no, like I know that I'm a highly anxious person. I have like concerns about like, you know, things happening and like ways that would like make my life out of my control or something like that. But I don't know that I'm specifically like anxious in social settings. And then I started thinking about it over the weekend and I was like, man, I don't know if I totally think that is true.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I was like, I think that there's a chance that like maybe just like a little bit. Like I don't think it's nearly as like severe as like other things that like I've dealt with. But I was like, maybe I do have some amount of this thing going on, like, or partially like what's like what makes me like hesitant to like go and do even like board game nights. I'm like, maybe this is like, maybe that's like a small portion of like what's happening to me.
Like it's less the game and more the social.
Well, maybe it's entering into a social environment where there is also like skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like not knowing where my own skills might rank, relative to the people that are also in that situation. Mm-hmm. I think that's something like I actually do have like some qualms with, like,
okay.
Like historically, like, you know, we've been like cyclists or climbers or runners, you know, like we've done like, you know, like our various activities, and I love going with like my core group.
Yeah.
And I love going to like locations that like I know well. But this was always one of those things like where if somebody outside of that orbit was like, hey, would you want to go like, you know, go for a ride next weekend or something? I'd be like, oh, how can I get? It's like, I like you as a person. I'd love to hang out with you. If you were asking me to go grab a beer, yeah, I'd be 100% in, no problem at all. However, right, I don't know.
I like you. I like biking. I've been there, but no, there's no that all of it together.
Oh. It's like I certainly couldn't. I couldn't mix the recipe of person I like with activity I like at location I like. Like
right.
That doesn't sound right to me.
Right. Yeah.
But the thing is that if you say like otherwise, like, would you just want like if I were making the decision, do I want to go biking next week? And like, oh, location I like, activity I like. Yeah, these are things I like. It's like the thing that makes the difference is having the person I like there who I don't know how my skills equate to.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Yeah. So anyway, this is now something I'm going to try to be more aware of and see if I can overcome.
Okay.
You know, real David and Goliath.
So you want to go to, you want to come to game night is what I'm hearing.
I really set myself up for that one, didn't I?
A little bit.
Are you hosting a nearby game night?
I mean, I could be hosting a game night as soon as later this evening, later. If you want,
like 3 hours you know, from now. Right? Does that work for you?
You know, you want to come over at like 8. The kids are probably down. You can bring Addie. Whatever, it's fine.
This is once again even in my head. I'm like, oh, are we playing Halo? You know, it's like, okay, because that's person I like, game I like, mm-hmm. location I know.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, okay, that like I'm ticking some boxes here. You know,
I mean,
like,
I got Halo at the house for sure.
I know we've been talking about it.
We sure have.
How has your Halo resurgence been going?
Oh man, great question, Ben. I would say tremendously.
Yes, okay, good to know.
I brought the Xbox home the other day. We have like the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah.
And I fired it up and I was like, I logged in and it has, you know, Halos 1 through 5 plus the prequel game in there.
Okay.
And like I was like, where to begin? I just decided, boom, right from the beginning, Halo 1, let's do it. It's definitely the game I played the most.
Okay.
Growing up, and like I just fired it up and I'd totally forgotten what the first level even was, and it's like it has been such a joy because like for as much Halo as you play, like a lot of what was so great about Halo was like the multiplayer aspect of it.
Hard agree.
Like people would like, it was the game, I feel like it was the game in my childhood that people would like come together to play the most, even though you could do like, you know, It was the game that also, I feel like, pioneered a lot of, like, online play.
Yeah. Yep. I would agree with that as well, too.
But,
yeah.
Like, for Halo 1, you really, if you wanted to play with other people, you could, like, hook up the Xboxes and have, like, a LAN party. Or even just having four people in a room was, like, more than enough to have a total party.
Yes.
You know, it was a total blast. So, played a lot of that. But I do remember going through the campaign quite a bit as well. And that's mostly what I'm doing now. I'm not really trying to do multiplayer. I just want to play through. Just relive it all.
Naturally. But refine those skills.
Yeah. But what's so fun about it is, like, rediscover. It's like for all the things that, like, I experienced so much, like, I have, like, such a good memory of all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, there are, like, if you showed me anything from Halo, I could probably tell you, like, what it was or what it did or what it was called or whatever. But, like I don't have, like, an active memory of it. So it's like playing through the game. It's like, it's very fun and nostalgic to be like, oh, like, I remember, like, the grunts and the elites, but I got to, like, the third level when you're first introduced to, like, the hunters.
Oh,
and they're,
yeah,
like, the, you know, big bad Covenant, you know, soldiers or whatever. And if they hit you, you're pretty much dead.
You got him in the back.
Yeah. You got to do this weird, like, backwards run, and they'll lunge at you and you sort of just, like, turn around. And I think if you have the pistol, you can, like, one shot them in the back.
Wow.
Which is, like, this, I remember that. But so it's like, they, like, appear and I'm like, they had completely exited my brain. But as soon as I show up, I'm like, I remember these guys. You're called hunters. And, like, my fingers, like, instinctually know, like, the same little, like, here's the turnaround move, and you're gone.
And done.
You know, it's like my, it's funny to me the things, like, your hands remember about doing stuff.
I know. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's like, how was their muscle memory from something I haven't done since you were probably, like, 14?
Right. And it's just like, you're just sort of looking around and it's like, oh, yeah. Like, I couldn't have, like, it's none of the stuff is, like, active in my brain, but it's like, yes, that's a scarab and a warthog and a ghost and the scorpion, and that's a hunter and foe hammer, the pelicans. It's like, these are all, like, they're all, like, words I just, like it feels like, oh yeah, they're all like deep inside of me, and they're all just still there.
Oh,
and
it's,
like,
so
very
good.
Fun.
That's so
just
good.
Like, remember it all. And it's like, oh yeah, let's go get them. And then, you know, I don't know, the music is so good. Like, I can't believe how much it hypes me up while I'm playing the game. And it's like, because it's this weird mix of, like, rock and then this sort of, like, you know, orchestral, like, oh, music.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like, yeah. It's like, it's really funny to me how, like, the Halo music is exactly like that. Like, it's,
yeah,
it almost feels like it could be something that would be, like, played in, like, a church or something. And it's
right,
like when you hear it, it's like, no way,
no,
man.
Let's,
like,
go.
Get me going. Where's, like, a red bandana I can tie around my forehead?
I know. So part of me, so yes, I've just been having an absolute blast playing it. And I'm like, am I going to play through all five Halos? Like, maybe I will. We'll see.
What kind of commitment are we talking about here?
Know,
do you think,
yeah,
you'll watch the show afterwards?
I feel like it's one of those things where they, like, the Alexa can hear you, and it's like, suddenly every time I log into Paramount Plus, it's like, Halo, and you're like,
yep. Okay. You're listening. I got it.
Understood. Yeah, you're just, you know, all of a sudden this is being promoted. I get it. But I don't know, maybe, like, a new season just came out or something, but, and it's just weird timing. Or maybe it's because a new season came out and there's been, like, advertising around that I haven't noticed, but it's, like, seeped into my subconscious or something.
That's the real question.
Right,
it's like,
yeah,
was your Alexa listening to you, or was the reason that you wanted to play Halo again because of this?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like somehow, like, it was like
something get to
it,
you.
It, like, permeated, like, the, yeah, airwaves just enough to be like, okay.
Wait, right.
You know what? I myself, Jonathan Carlin, I'm thinking for the first time ever, I should be playing some more Halo.
And indeed,
and
I am.
And it's like, haha, he played right into our hand.
Exactly. Except that I'm just playing a game I already bought. So
that's
yeah.
A good
so
point.
I didn't spend,
yeah,
any new money with you, Halo.
Yeah. Just a long time ago.
Just a long time ago, and yeah, we bought it, like, five times across, like, five consoles because we had a big LAN party and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, they got
so
us pretty good.
They got us, yeah,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's fine.
That's okay.
It's fine. It's been a blast. Yeah. Anyway,
it has been making me desperately want to get another LAN party going.
I mean, absolutely, let's do that.
I think we need to. I personally need to go and, like, refine my skills. This is, like, one of those things where I was talking to you about it a little bit. And I was like, would you ever stream Halo? And I was like, I can't decide, like, you know, like, for like what we do for the most, like, we've played on the past. We never, like, shied away from playing in the past or anything like that. But, like, we've always, like, most of the gaming we've ever done has always been, like, sort of like Mario Kart. Like, it's always
right,
matched, like, sort of like the very, like family friendly stuff that we tend to put, like, out into the world.
Right.
And then it's like, there's a part of me that's like, what would the world be like where, like, what we did was, like, stream Halo or
right,
something like that?
Yeah.
Like, this is a very different kind of,
it is. I mean,
know,
it
vibe.
Just, it is like a first person shooter. And it's like, I mean, it is a little bit different than other first person. Like, I mean, even like Fortnite, like, I don't think, for some reason, Fortnite feels like more, not, it's not like family friendly or anything. Like, you know, you're just like shooting people and stuff.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
But like, even in Halo, like, you're never actually Like, I guess if you did like multiplayer, you would be like firing at other human beings.
Right.
Or even, but like if you're just playing the campaign, like at no point are you ever like against the humans.
That's
you
know, true.
Everything you're firing against are like sci-fi invented alien creatures.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. So there you go. That's the question. So we'll have to see. Wait and see if Jay ends up becoming a way.
Would you guys want to see some Halo streaming is the question.
That is the question. Be sure to let us know. PopcornCulturePod@gmail.com.
Yeah. You know, very relevant Halo 1 streaming these days.
Yes. Yes. There you go.
I mean, playing on Legendary or anything. You know, I'm just going through a normal.
Well, I mean, you got to work up to it.
You got to work up to it. Yeah, we'll play through all 5 games at normal, and then we'll go back and do it all heroic. And
and then just keep working our way up.
Eventually, we'll just do Legendary.
It'll work exceedingly good.
Exactly. And then we'll have a Halo LAN party, and I'll just, like, wreck everyone. It'll be awesome.
This is the thing. This is what's so weird. I mean, because I was just talking about, like, doing activities with people. It's like, there is something that's very different for me when I'm the one facilitating. It's like, I can show up, and it's like, I know I'm not the best person here. Like I'm probably in the bottom tier of people here at this particular thing.
Right.
I feel like there's like a safety to being like able to be the person who like provided the opportunity for all the rest of the people to be there. So it's like, you know, it's like, I'm not very good at it, but at least I set it up.
Right. It's like, oh yeah, it's okay if Ben's the worst and he's on your team because we wouldn't even be playing without Ben.
Exactly. So yeah. I'm still providing something to the people in my lives.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is like Ben math.
Yeah.
Like, this is like the mental math I'm grappling with all the time. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, it makes so much sense in my head, and then when I say it out loud, I'm like, oh, that's sort of a ridiculous way to look at it, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Like that there would be a difference.
Well, even with Ben math, it's not like you're ever hosting game night though.
That's a good point. But I have hosted the LAN parties.
That's true.
In the past, I guess so. So that's like the occasional once every like 4.5 years game night that I host.
Right. Yeah.
Never. I think in 9 years, 2 game nights counts for something.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to get one on the books, it sounds like.
Okay, sounds good.
Halo going.
There you go. Transition?
Transition!
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or 3 or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but 2 full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase. Okay, so we had a cool thing happen this week.
We did have a cool thing happen. Well, and you know what? I think we had a cool thing happen this week.
I mean, I think it's pretty cool.
I know. But like, have you and I both not been entirely sure whether or not it's been cool?
There has been some like maybe confusion about like what it meant or whatever.
Yes.
And I think more it was like I didn't quite know like until we were there. And then it was like, oh, actually, this is pretty cool.
Yes. Once experiencing it, it was very cool. But it was and people are going to be like, OK, can you tell us what the thing was? But yeah, so about a year ago, we had someone reach out to us from the like Virginia state government. His name's Brian.
Mm-hmm. What's up, Brian?
Shout out to Brian. And he said that he would like to submit us for what is called a commending resolution from the Virginia House of Delegates, which is correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I said all the right words.
Yes.
In the right order and everything.
Yeah.
So, it's like one of those things where you're like, well, it sounds neat.
Yeah.
Like that sounds good.
Like, okay.
But I think our original point of contact may have been like last year in like April or May. So it had been quite some time since this idea had first been presented to me.
Yeah.
You know, or to us. And I was kind of like, yeah, that sounds good. Yep. Yes, we were in. How do we do this from here? Like,
yeah.
What happens next? And so, you know, I guess there was some stuff happening behind the scenes over the course of the past year or whatever. And then so earlier inside of this year, I got like an email being like, hey, like we're pretty much like doing the thing. Like,
yeah, you've been approved.
you have been approved. And so like even then it's kind of like one of these things where it's like, okay, so basically, yeah, as far as I know, the state of Virginia is going to be recognizing us for like our YouTube and sort of like fundraising related efforts.
Yeah.
With what is called, yeah, this commending resolution.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, I feel like I'm trying to like tell people what it is we're doing, or even like telling like our office mates, because we're like going to be out of office one day, so we can drive up to Richmond.
Well, yeah, that's like, yeah. So do you guys want to like come, you know, be here for it? Like drive up to the state capitol and, you know, come to the Capitol building or whatever. And you're like,
right.
Yeah. You're like, okay.
Yeah, we want
what
to,
is it?
We want to do that.
Yeah.
Do we need to do anything? Are we properly prepared? What do we wear?
Yeah. Right.
You know, it was just a really kind of like cool and overall very interesting process because, yeah, so yesterday morning we got up at like 6 a.m., you know, our time. We left for the, you know, like 3-hour drive up to Richmond get there, you know, by like 9 or so. Like we go and like we meet our people who had like, you know, submitted us for this thing. And, you know, they sort of like take us up and like, you know, you're in this like the capital of the state of Virginia and you're in like the gallery looking down on like all of the delegates who then like are doing their proceedings and sort of like signing things into, you know, bill stuff like that. And you're like, well, this is pretty wild. Like,
yeah, this is very official.
Cause that's the other verbiage that they had used at some point in time. It's like, would you guys like to come to like witness it be signed? Like to watch the bill be
signed.
Bill
signing? Yeah.
And we're like, wait,
like
a
what?
Bill?
I know. I think what was getting in our own way all day was like, our own level of imposter syndrome.
It definitely
was. That
was
sort of it was like, this can't be that big of a deal because there's no way that we would be like succeeding in that sort of way.
Right.
And
right.
Then, you know, you get there and it's just like, they're doing it. And you know, like you're standing there and you're like, it was like, as it was happening, like we're being like recognized by the state government of like the Virginia state government as like is like recognizing like everything we've done on YouTube, like in a very official way. And I was like, this is like, this is actually like really cool. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. You know?
So we're like,
it felt like such an honor.
It really did. Yeah. So you're like standing on this like upper balcony and you're like, you're, you know, kind of like looking in and everything that's happening. And like our local delegate is the one who like, you know, stood up to like read like our whole spiel and like, you know, like gestures up to us, to like recognize us and like all the, you know, 100 Virginia state delegates, like all turn in their chairs and then look up and applaud. And you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
But no, it was just a really kind of surreal and cool experience, and you know, like, but yeah, the imposter syndrome was just definitely overflowing the whole day. It was
right,
like, and I think I just kept thinking something was just gonna happen, and it was just gonna be like, oh, sorry guys, turns out we can't actually do it. And it's gonna be like, no problem. Yeah, like I didn't even know if I wanted to anyway. I was still kind of confused what it was, but thank you for considering us, you know.
Right.
Like,
yeah
but no, so it was really cool though. It was definitely like a also just like a very interesting glimpse into sort of like local politics.
Yeah, a little bit more like state level government proceedings and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, this is something where it's like whenever there's like elections and stuff like that, like all the like really big races, you know, it's like you can't not pay attention to them. They're like in front of you no matter where you look. Yeah. And there's always like lots of you know, like a lot of times like the conversations attached to every single election, you know, are sort of on like battleground points that, you know, everybody feels extremely strongly on.
Yeah, it's like you get on Twitter and there's nothing but just people yelling about everything, and it's like it is like it feels very overwhelming and like anxious, like, yeah, angst inducing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, and there's also like, you know, that sort of like general belief or sense towards, you know, like politicians and sort of like that whole realm and world and lobbyists and, you know, all the things that go on and stuff. But like it was strange just to actually be there in the room with it, where like it's odd to describe the we were there for the very beginning for like what was happening was like recognitions similar to our own.
Yeah.
But the, like, to me, like my read on the room was, I was like, this is like a very warm atmosphere.
It did feel that way. Just like, you know, they had all the people from one party sitting on one side and all the people from the other party on the other side, but it was like everyone was just chumming it up. Everywhere.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It was like every little thing they voted on that while we were there, it was like 100-0. Yes.
Yeah.
And like, it was like, you know, I think when you like watch the news, like your belief is that at all times, like all politics is just a like brutal bare knuckle fight. No one gives up a vote for anything. Nothing ever gets passed ever because favors and under the table dealings and backdoor like sign, like, you know. This is what it feels like. It's how it's presented, that everything is like, you know, cutthroat and ruthless. And they're like, yeah, like that's the stuff you'll see in the news. But like 95% is like everyone agreed on it, and we pass all sorts of stuff all the time. And it's like,
right,
and like,
yeah,
everyone just like reads and it's like, yeah, this makes sense, so let's definitely do it. And
right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's definitely very like I think it inspired some hope. You know,
yeah,
I think it's easy to have like a rather, you know, negative sensation and stuff. But so anyway, yeah, I mean, it was just neat to be there. It was neat to be in the room. I feel like it sort of like changed my own perspective a little bit to like this like corner of something that like I don't even know if like mentally I had like written off in some capacity as like I don't really know how to approach it. I don't really know how to get involved with it. I don't really know like what to think about it, because it all just feels like such complicated soup.
Yes.
You know,
soup.
Like, yeah. And like, which by the way, is a phrase I feel like I've found myself like reaching for more and more often.
Yeah.
But what I mean is just largely that it's like, there's a lot of ingredients and they don't always go together necessarily. Mm. And what you end up with is this like slurried concoction.
Right. Yeah.
AKA soup.
Well, soup typically does go together.
Well, it typically does.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that I would have said that most of these things would be soup that I didn't want any part of. Like,
right, yeah,
like oatmeal raisin soup. You see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Full circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Hilarious.
Thanks.
I think when people say something is like soup, they're saying it's like it would be impossible to like like to separate the items again.
Yeah, no,
in a way, and like, and it's all intertangled in an almost a way in which it is impossible to untangle the strings from each other.
Right, right. Yeah. So I think that's a good way to put it too, because I think a lot of times, like some of the issues that I find myself struggling with, like for the most part, like this is something like where it's hard because it probably ends up being almost a good analogy for politics themselves, mm-hmm. where it's like, I think a lot of times I will be trying to solve a problem and you are unfortunately at the mercy of hearing me talk about it, usually pretty relentlessly, because it's almost all my brain can like work on mm-hmm. is trying to like trace the pathways back and forth and upside down and under and in and out. And like,
yeah.
How do we, okay. So in order to solve that thing, we need to talk to this person, which means we need this person to cooperate in order for that to be even okayed in the first place. And then if we're going to want that to happen, we're going to need like these seven other people to completely change their opinions in the first place, and that's how we're gonna have to get through the whole mess.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, I think for the most part in my life, I am like I actually think it, like I like problem solving. Like I think that it's something that like I do a lot of,
yeah.
and most problems are not hard to solve.
Yeah.
But then I think me myself gets caught on like six problems that I absolutely can't solve that basically become like the obsession of my life.
I see.
And
well, yeah, I remember so. I don't know if this is helpful or not, but I do remember like a situation like this in my past, back when I worked at the concert venue.
Hey, look at you go.
For the bingo board there.
Wow, well done.
Wherein I was, we had Jerry Seinfeld coming to the building.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, you've heard of him?
Yeah,
you know of him?
Yeah.
So he was going to perform.
He's in the B-movie?
He's in the B-movie, yeah. Okay, that's what yeah. he's most known for.
Okay, that's what I would have said, yeah.
We had Seinfeld coming to the building, and it was a theater show, so I was the one like in charge of doing the marketing for that one. And I was like going back and forth with the promoter, and you know, we were trying to decide, you know, what ads we wanted to place for you know, radio and TV and print and billboards and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And specifically the print version. Like they said they told me they wanted to spend like X number of dollars and have ads run on these like 3 days or something. And I was like, okay, great. And I went and talked to my person at the Roanoke Times, and they were like, oh, I actually have a deal running right now. Would you be interested in that? And I was like, I don't know. It seems like pretty good. Maybe let me go check with the promoter. And I sent it back to the promoter, and I was like, okay, I talked to the Roanoke Times person. They said, we can actually do this and get this many ads. And they said, perfect. And I was like, great. So I just ran it exactly, you know, the way it was. And then like, you know, month later, the ads are supposed to run.
Right.
And like they're, you know, that I get an email from the promoter saying like, why didn't, shouldn't there be an ad in the Sunday paper? And I was like, oh, but no, because remember I sent you this deal and we were doing that. And they were like, I said, I want an ad in the Sunday paper. And I was like, right. But I sent you this and you said, perfect. And then you know, it was like this, like, and they're like, I said, I want an ad in that paper. And I was like,
yes.
I have the receipts that we can see exactly. And it was like, I was trying to go back and I remember like just freaking out. Like I've just spent like $800 that wasn't supposed to be sent. And like what I'm spent and like what am I going to do? Like, are they're clearly upset. It wasn't in the paper. Like how are we going to like make good this or whatever?
Right.
And like, I'm trying to explain it all to the director of marketing, this guy named Dave at the time. And I was just like, so what happened was this happened. And then like, they thought I meant this and I thought they said that. And I talked to Eugene and Eugene told me this. And like, and it was like this like convoluted, like spaghetti mess. And he was like, just none of that matters. Like, you know, like just whatever, just like, stop. None of that matters. Just tell them we'll just buy another ad with our own money and apologize for the rest of it. And it's just like, no, but they're wrong. He's like, doesn't matter. Just do this. And I like went back and I was like, you know, I was like, oh, it absolutely matters, you know,
right, it matters to me.
You know, I'm like, oh, it matters to me. And I like, so then I'm like, okay, well, what if it was like, we have some funds set aside for stuff like this. What if we just buy you an ad next Sunday? And they're like, that sounds perfect. Thank you so much for clearing this up. And I was like, man, that worked so well. And it was just like, it was like Dave was right. Like, none of the rest of it mattered. None of the convoluted mess that had brought me to the situation, no matter how much sense it made and how much like ups and downs and like, no matter how justified it actually was, like it actually didn't matter. All that mattered was like, there was like one single line to the solution to the problem. And I did that and it worked. And it was like such a like amazing lesson moving forward, I thought, for me. Where it was just like, there are so many times where it just seems like if any time, and I've been able to recognize it a lot, where people will, like, I'll be listening to someone say like this whole myriad of reasons and rationales and like misunderstandings that led them to a certain things. And it's just like, I can like recognize that it's like all that stuff is just like, it's all just like a tangled mess that is getting in your way of seeing the truth, which is just like, move past it. Or whatever.
Yeah. Like the big question, because I used to always think about like headphone wires, you know. Yeah. it's like headphone wires before, you know, like the time of the earbud, where they're just, where you were more at risk of losing them entirely, was like, if you gently set a set of like headphones on your desk, when you returned, it would appear as though somebody was attempting to make like a rubber band ball out of them.
Right. Yeah.
By making as many knots, you know, separately as humanly possible.
Right. And you'd be like, how on earth did they get this tangled up? There's only 1 foot of like strands here for where the buds are even not connected to each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do think you're right, because I think I think what you're trying to say is almost like it's almost like, I mean, this is a bad example, but maybe possibly also like a way to demonstrate it is that like in your mind, you think that the headphones won't work again unless you methodically go through and like untangle everything. But if you plug the headphone jack into your old iPhone or iPod and then you put the earbuds into your ear, music will still come out of it.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like all the tangles aside, it's like there's probably like a quick slash way where it's like, okay, let's take away all the minutiae out of the equation.
It's like,
and just get down to like the absolute, like what is important to them? What are we capable of doing? Solve that.
Right.
We don't need to resolve like the he said, she said.
Exactly. You know, like, it's like, yeah, you don't need to necessarily go back and like pick apart. And it's like this belief that you can't move forward unless you resolve the 1,000 little strings that got you to the point you're at. Like, it feels like it'll be impossible, but it's like, that's just not true. Like, you know what, like, it doesn't matter how many weird roads and what maze we went through to get to this point. Like, we don't need to argue about the way we got here, because where we want to go is there, and there's just one road there and we can just take it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like it was like a weird thing that happened, and it's like, I look back and it's like, I used to think about it. It was like, I literally had such like receipts, you know, on the situation. It was like, I sent them a thing and they said perfect. And it was like, I'm right. I know I'm right. 'Cause I have it. It's right here. Like, there it is. And it's like, that didn't matter. You know?
Right.
That didn't matter. It's like, yes. It didn't matter, because that wasn't actually what was important.
Right. You know? Right. No. And it's interesting, 'cause I think that like I had a similar like formative experience that I may have told on the pod before, but I'm going to do it again anyway. Which is, I had an instance where once upon a time I was in Dallas, Texas doing this big aquarium show, and the crew that I was working with, was like known for having some of just like the most jaw dropping and incredible like exhibits that like anybody would do at this type of thing.
Yeah.
And this is like, you know, the creme de la creme of people in this particular field.
So, right.
Like, but like this booth that I was working for and working with would like win the blue ribbon for like the most impressive display.
Right.
And these guys were, I mean, they were machines like none other, mm-hmm. You know, like they all knew their stuff inside out. They were all, like every single one of the crew could be like a carpenter on their own, or, you know, like a machinist or something. Like they all know the ins and outs of like so many different things, all of the different tools, the complete biology and chemistry of like the aquarium systems that we're doing. And I was basically there to like do grunt work.
Yeah.
And the guy that I was working with was at like the very top of the food chain. And he is the one who had like brought me out, because we were doing some other projects together and he needed me to like basically start learning so I could like have some of these skills when he needed to call on me. And so the thing that happened was, like we got there and we had this like 500 gallon display that we're getting ready to set up in a remote location. application, which a 500 gallon display is ridiculously hard to install, like when you're
like at a permanent location.
Yeah, yeah, at a permanent location, not something that's going to be set up for like 5.5 days.
Right.
You know, and the thing that we needed, because they were able to build the these really incredible aquariums that were on wheels so that they could put them on the back of a trailer and then basically like on these like super heavy duty casters, they would like roll them into the event center from like, you know, the loading dock or whatever.
Right.
Where we would then bring them to the resting location and essentially like try to drop them into place so that they would, you know, be wherever. And what we needed was just this like 30-inch wide piece of 2x4.
Yeah.
And like the guy that was there was like, Ben, go find me a 30-inch piece of wood. And you know, it's like we're in an event center that's like a mile long.
Right.
You know, it's like the building is a mile long. And right. It is huge to try to get anywhere. And I'm like, I don't have a car. I don't have any money. I don't have any way of getting anywhere. Like, it's not like I can just like run to Lowe's and like, you know, yeah, have them cut me a board or something, come back. And like, it's, I think it was like one of those situations where it's like, you know, I could have explained to the guy who asked me to do this all the complicated things that I was going to have to do like in order to get it. And instead I just looked at him and was like, all right.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, got to find wood, you know? And so then, I mean, then it just becomes like a game. It's
yeah,
like somewhere inside of this building there is wood.
Absolutely. I mean, that's an absolute truth of any large venue for sure. It's
yes,
like
yeah,
you know what, they've had enough things in and out, like there's spare wood about.
yes yeah. And then it's just a matter of like coming back with it. And he didn't want to know how I did it, what all I had to go through to do it. Like, it's like right, one of these things where it's like I know you went on a journey, like I and maybe this is like part of like experience in the world and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like at some point in time I also had to go find wood, you know.
Right.
And at some point in time I did, and I came back with it. But I do think this was like one of those like challenges to me where I was like, at the time I had no idea how I was going to solve it.
Right. Like, you hadn't been in big venues before. It was like, you know, what do you mean find wood? Wood's not just laying around.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's not like there's a tree over there or something.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, I took a standard hammer from our toolbox and ended up finding a couple of pallets leaned against some dumpsters outside of the building.
Nice.
And I just wailed on them until they broke free.
Nice.
And I came back with my perfectly cut 30-inch strip of wood.
Nice. Yeah. And he was like, great, thank you.
Yeah. And that was it. It was like, don't you want to hear how I got it? Like,
right. It's like, as soon as he's like, Ben, I need you to go get me this piece of wood. And it's like, do you have any? It's like, you're already wasting my time. Like,
yeah. Yes. That's yeah, exactly it. It's like please do like, not ask questions. And when you return, please don't tell me what happened.
Right. Like I don't care. I just need the wood. Like, it's how you got it, irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
The fact is, we need it. And that's that.
Yes. You are effectively making a very large shim. Like,
yeah,
which like if you've ever like installed like a dresser or something in your home and you need to be level, like we needed one of those, but for an aquarium that was going to weigh, how much is 500 times 8 pounds per gallon? Like 4,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4,000 pounds. So we needed a shim for a 4,000 pound thing.
Okay.
That's not counting the glass or the cabinetry.
Right.
So probably like 5,280 pounds. Hmm. That's how many feet are in a mile.
Wow.
Which is how big the building was.
Got it.
Full circle.
Woo! Nailed it.
Thanks.
Very good. Very good. Well, I'm glad you found some wood.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah. It was quite the journey. But I think I feel like it's like your thing, but it's in reverse, because it's just it's like all of the other bits, it's sort of like you've got like point A to point B, and there's distance that exists in between those two things. And when it really comes down to it, it's like it's almost the most important thing in the world to just ignore the distance in between points A and point
right,
B. When it comes to these specific things, like this is like where the journey is not the destination. The destination is the destination.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. This is, that is so it, you know, it's like, so like in life and whenever you're doing so many things, like the journey ends up being the destination. And it's like, sometimes like at work, like the destination is just the destination. Like just get it done. Like
we just need the outcome.
It's like, I don't need to know the entire journey of how you got from here to there. You know, we're not making like an animated movie over here.
Right.
I'm sending an email, you know.
yeah. Oh man. But it's like, it's one of those things that I think it's like you have to like override your senses, because probably a lot of like what happens when you're growing up or the basic arguments you've been in at this, like up until this stage of life, you know, it's like whether you've got like siblings or parents or friends who you're arguing with or significant others in like, you know, middle school, high school, college, whatever the case may be, it's like the he said, she said like form of like the judicial system of social laws
yeah.
is so vital.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
but it's like I think you get okay. I'm just gonna spitball some theory here.
Okay, let's hear
like
it.
You know
let's
what? As we're talking about this, it's reminding me a lot of like just like parenting, like my three boys.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's just like sometimes there's just a big loud smack in the other room, and you don't really know what happened, but suddenly a bunch of people are crying, and you know what? When I walk in there, I don't care what happened.
Yeah.
There's no he said, she said. It's like whatever. Just everyone apologize. This game's over.
Right.
Like it doesn't really matter what transpired. We've clearly gotten too rowdy doing whatever we're doing. So this is dissolved now.
Right.
Like no amount of like, no, but I was doing this and then that. And then because he said this, I went over there and I didn't know that Nate didn't want me to touch that. And it's like, none of that matters. Like, right, I don't care.
Right.
Like we're just,
it's so funny.
Clean slate.
It's so funny on this side of the spectrum though, because like, these are like the injustices that I always felt like I remembered as a kid, where it was like, oh, that was so unfair got handled.
I think what happens, this is the rest of the theory, is that like when you're a kid, of course your parents are already on the other end, and they don't care because like they just want you to stop like roughhousing and causing trouble.
Right.
And it's like to you, there was a lot of nuance in that situation. But what happens is you grew up in a high school and suddenly like you're having to navigate all these situations, and there aren't parents to just be like, doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, so guess what? You hash it out into the nitty gritty detail, and there is gossip, and there is like people, he said, she said, who's right, who's wrong. And then it just becomes like, and that like you lose sight of like that, the fact that your parents were just like correct in erasing that.
Right. Right.
And you get in there and you're like, no, this is how things should be. This is how I always wanted things to be handled. And now it is. And this is the appropriate way.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's actually extremely funny because I feel like, you know, you and I both watch like, some amount of like reality TV related dating shows type stuff. So the most recent one is a show called Love is Blind on Netflix that I think we've both watched all the way through.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yep.
Yes. Confirmed.
Yep.
It's funny to me because I think you witness this happen sometimes like inside of like the arguments amongst people on these like reality dating shows, where like they will be like, clearly somebody is upset. They will have like made their point as like how they're upset, and they'll basically like be going back and forth with whatever discourse is happening. And on some level, I almost like, I think part of what I like about watching these shows is that it's almost like I don't typically experience fights at the level of like dramatic nature that the people inside of the shows are.
Right.
And so for me, sometimes it's almost like I'm like studiously watching how people like engage in conflict.
Right.
Like I know that potentially sounds wild, but I think like that is the appeal to me of these like dating shows and stuff, is that like, it's like I'm getting to like see how people behave inside of like the pressure cooker that is like the situation they've been like subjected to.
Yeah.
Because it makes a lot of like the interactions elevated, you know, because that elevated interaction is what ends up grabbing people for like TV purposes. But I also feel like it's probably like, it's almost like adding like salt to food. It's basically making the food taste more like what the food tastes like, but you're getting to see it on an exaggerated scale.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following everything I'm saying so far?
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like as we're describing all this, one of the things that I've witnessed in a lot of the shows is that like they'll start arguing about one thing or another, and then somebody will be able to like dismiss like, oh, that was just a misunderstanding. And then like the person's like, well, I'm still mad, so hold on, let me back up a few steps. Okay, this was the next thing I was mad at. Now, what about this though? You know?
Yes.
And it's almost like, it's like the person may have been able to resolve like problem, you know, number A.
Right.
But, and then it's sort of like, oh, problem number A wasn't a problem. Okay, well, then let me backtrack to problem number B, like I was saying.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that wasn't, okay. Problem number C, you know,
yeah,
and
it's like, what are you actually mad about?
Right.
Or so often the other thing that'll happen is they'll start arguing because of one thing, but then like 3 minutes later, they're more like arguing about the way in which the argument is being had.
Yes.
And yep. That's always like, you just need to stop. Like nothing is happening now. You're resolving nothing.
No, nobody is ever like at their best inside of like, you know, the heat of an argument.
Yeah.
This always goes back to like one of those things like where the contemplation has literally crossed my mind before, like if Allie and I ever have like a disagreement about something where I'm like, should we go into separate rooms and text each other? And sometimes it's silly because I'm like, I go back to like an era of like the breakup text, you know, it was like such a informal and kind of like condescending or disrespectful way to like break up with somebody. I was like, you can at least say it to their face.
Right.
And you can't even be brave enough to like come and face me for this type of thing, whatever. But I feel like sometimes I'm like, you know, when I was going through some of these stages, I was in high school or something, if I was dating somebody who went to a different school, it was like, we didn't really have the ability to be face-to-face. Like, our primary way of communicating was through text messages. But a lot of times, like, I would get a text and I'd be like, oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Let me send a draft. Hang on.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll edit it a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's a lot more rational. Yeah.
you know,
it's like,
right.
It's like, you know, so what you end up doing is it's like, you have your knee jerk reaction where it's like, let's just say hypothetically, you're like, you are face to face. It's like your knee jerk reaction is just immediately available because they're right there.
Right. Like, but, yeah. Cause they watch it happen.
Because they watch it happen. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, it's like, sometimes I'm like, man, was I more productive at like conflict resolution through text? Because it actually gave me a minute to like take a few steps back, reconvene, you know, sort of like calm down and be like, okay, we got this, you know?
Yeah.
Now move forward.
Right.
Yeah. I have no idea, but it feels like it could be a thing.
It could be. Yeah. Might help to just be like, okay, before I say anything, let me just like think about it more.
Yeah.
Which is like more acceptable in like text-based communication rather than like when someone says something to your meeting, you're like just quiet for 3 minutes.
Yeah. That's my problem is that in arguments, it takes me Alice would attest to this instantly.
Yeah.
But if we're inside of an argument, I will just go silent for a long time, you know, like, and I'm just sitting there and I'm not going to respond with what like my first thought. Like,
right.
First thought almost certainly is wrong. So let me sit and wait. And so it ends up being like the most hilarious thing to probably like, we would be terrible for reality TV because it's mostly just us sitting there in absolute silence for like long stretches of time.
Right. I mean, they could just edit you to look like you were responding off the cuff, you know?
They probably would. So here's my question though. So with your event promoter though, this is the type of thing like where we live in the age of emails.
Yeah.
Where like you had the time to be like, what you said, perfect.
Right.
You know, like, right. So it's like, imagine this is like 1970 instead of like 2014 or something.
Right.
And it's sort of like you guys are meeting at like, you know, a restaurant to be like, hey, what up? Sunday paper. Didn't see it. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, because you told me. It's like, no, I didn't. It's like, you said perfect.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's
those
like,
were your words.
Right. Yeah. So more spaced out communication. Is there a world where that's better?
I don't know. I mean, even in my situation, even when I could prove it, it didn't matter to them.
No, of course not. Yeah, that's the thing. And like sometimes it just doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, but either which way, I mean, it was like you even had the ability, like I was talking about like putting like my drafts in my phone or whatever for my response.
Yeah.
Like this was like you literally went to like a whole other person to be like, hey, what do I do? This is ridiculous, right? It's like not ridiculous. Just this. Here you go. I've solved.
Right.
Give them what they want.
Right. It's like, okay. All right. Felt like maybe we should have served some justice. I should have been due some apologies and some, you know, like, you know, it was just like, yeah, that does not, that's not how it's going to work.
Right. So the question is, because this could take me back to like that Zeigarnik effect I've talked a lot about lately, like where you get like closure to the situation. Did you ever feel like after the fact, because this would be an interesting one, like, did you ever have like any fuel that you didn't get to burn off by not saying or getting justice for that perfect email? You know, and I'm saying perfect like the like in air quotes because that's what the guy said. He confirmed this is perfect.
Right.
This solution you've sent me. Like, did you ever feel like the door didn't get closed on that? Or did you feel like once someone else had intervened and provided this mechanism to solve the problem that you were like, okay, let's solve the problem, but I'm still mad.
No, I was completely good.
You were completely good. Yeah. So you were just able to like, okay, good. Yep. There we go.
Right. Yes.
If they're good, then I'm good.
Right. Basically.
Yeah. Bygones be bygones.
Right. Like I'd rather move forward than continue to deal with it or something, you know?
Right. Okay. That sounds good. Yeah. Then we'll go again hypothetically. So now there's a gathering of the troops.
Yeah.
You're at like a local, like Jerry Seinfeld from the Bee Movie has come into town. He's done his performance. Where most likely, I assume he's dressed like a bee.
Yeah, probably
doing bee impersonations.
Mostly bee puns. Yeah,
like how to harvest honey type situations.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So
it's just Jerry Seinfeld in a bee suit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So afterwards, all the people who have been involved with the situation, you go. You're at like a bar where there's like small plates and beverages and the whatnot. You and Senor Perfect are you like, what up, man? How are you? So glad we were able to solve that Sunday paper thing.
Yes, that's how it would be.
Oh, okay, good.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You seem like you think I was leading you down a path where that's not how I thought you would respond.
Well, I feel like that's what you were asking. Is that how I would respond?
Oh, Okay, yeah. So, yeah. so you would just be good, though.
I would just be good.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good.
I mean, frequently there are promoters where they would just, like, annoy you with their requests and stuff, but then you meet them in person and be like, what's up? We've done so many shows together. Ha ha, we're such good friends. And it was like, I would see them as, like, more, like, friendly, more like friends. And it was like, of course, it was sort of understood that within the context of, like, when we're working, that, like, there are forces acting on me and there's forces acting on you. And if you're annoyed about this, then whatever.
That's such a good point to bring up, because it's true. It's like everybody who's ever inside of, like, their environment, it's like you're always and everybody is aware of all of the other factors that are involved.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of like when somebody, like, you know, asked to, like, talk to a manager or whatever, it's like, on some level, it's almost like you know the person in front of you, even though, like, all of your frustration might be at that particular person. It's almost like, it's like, there's nothing that person can actually do.
Yeah.
Which is for the most part, like, is how I dial all of it back all the time and always. It's like, I know this is nothing to do with you. They're, like, you are not permitted to do whatever it is that I was asking.
Right.
Of this situation or something. So it's like, I will not hold that against you, because I know if you could help me, you probably would help me.
I would say, on the flip side, there were certain promoters where I would just be like, they would be the worst, and they would be very, like, petty. He said, she said, like, they would not cut through it. And it would be like, you know, and then it was the worst. It was like, I don't want to work here anymore, because it's like stressing me out at all times, kind of things.
Yeah, that can be very exhausting.
So there were situations, and so I don't know, that also I think is the same. I think it's the same lesson. It's like, we had this one person. Where I could go talk to my manager, and they were just like, nope, just do this, fixed. And then you'd have other people where it'd just be like, no, I'm going to continue to harp on you for all these tiny little misdeeds you've done for the end of time, to be like, I'm going to need you to stop doing that, because the show's over.
Yeah. The show's over.
Yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld went back to the hive, man. We're fine.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know. I don't know how we totally got here, but that was my story.
This is the Carlin Brothers, course on conflict resolution.
Course on conflict resolution.
Thank you for attending. There will be gift bags at the door.
Right.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Whichever door that you're at. Hopefully, although maybe now somebody is like exiting a restaurant and there's like a to-go bag or something, and they're like, well, that's the gift bag that Ben is almost definitely talking about.
I'll just grab it for myself.
So unfortunately, I just contributed to, like, burrito theft. So that's my bad.
Oh my gosh. Whenever I to-go order Chipotle, and, like, just do, like, the online order, and you just walk up and, like, you make no contact with anyone in the store at all. You just walk up and you check the receipt on the little shelf and you take your food. I'm always like, anyone could just take this at any time. It's like, if you really wanted to, you could just walk into any Chipotle ever, walk up, grab a bag, leave. Mystery burrito. You're welcome.
Mystery burrito.
No one would stop you. No one. I always feel like I'm stealing. And I'm like, even though I already paid for the food and I'm just, this is mine.
Right. It has my name on it.
It has my name on it. If you were to check me, I'm always like, okay, someone that I, like, my opinion, like, even though I paid for it and I ordered it and it has my name on it, I'm like, everyone watching thinks I'm stealing. Like,
yeah.
You know, I could prove that I'm not, but guaranteed they all think I am.
Yeah.
They think I am.
Going worst case.
Yeah.
The thing that I find to be hilarious about this is the frequency at which I do it. And then, like, I'll, like, pick up my bag and I will wait for someone to come over and I'll be like, I just want to let you know I was just picking up my bag or whatever. And they're like, yeah, okay. Yeah. And I'm like, it was right of me to tell you that I was doing that, right? Like, instead of just walking out the door,
they're like, we have a line.
It reminds me of back in the day. I feel like somebody at some point in time pointed out to me the prospect of, like, pulling into, and I'm not recommending anybody do this, but it was like pulling into like a hotel that had, like, a continental breakfast and just walking in as if you were a guest and consuming the continental breakfast and then leaving. And it's like, I mean, that would be stealing at that point in time, because it's usually, like, included in the cost of the room. But
yeah.
I remember somebody saying that for the first time, and I was like, you could do that, right?
Like, I don't know, how aware they are of who every single guest in the hotel is at any moment.
I know. I feel like I need to ask someone who works at a hotel. I'm like, does this happen, or how easy is it to spot?
Right.
You know, because it's like, that's like one of those where you think that you're just, like, blending into the crowd, but the people who work there know a lot more what to look for than you realize they're aware of.
Right. I suspect if you just did it, like, once at a hotel, like, they would never know. And if you came in, like, frequently, they'd be like, hey, I recognize you.
That's the yeah. other thing too. Yeah. You think the people working behind the counter are just a myriad of like strangers who would never recognize you ever again. But this is funny because I used to date a girl who drove a pink car.
Yeah.
And it was a funny, like a bright pink car.
Bright pink. Yes.
Yeah. Like
Pepto-Bismol colored.
Yes. And it was one of those really funny things where it was incredible to me, the frequency at which we would pull up at something and she's like, and people would say to her, I see your car everywhere.
Right.
And I was sort of like, what are the odds of you seeing her car everywhere? And it's like the thing is that you probably see a lot of the cars that you pass like to and from on your like way to work, on your way to school, on your way to right. like the gym you go to or your favorite restaurant or something. It's like the reason people remember this car is because it was so pink.
Right. Exactly.
Like, yeah.
It's like I probably see the same navy blue minivan and black sedan and silver, you know, Hyundai every single day. And
exactly.
It's like, I'm completely unaware of it because it all just blends together.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you're working at the hotel and you're all of a sudden discovering like, wait a second, this kid, he's here a lot.
Yeah.
I've never checked him in before. You know, it's like, that's where it's like, you know,
right.
the little like light bulb goes up. It's like, mm-hmm. wait a second.
Because like you could probably assume that like if the front desk person has changed, like, well, obviously the new person doesn't know.
Right. Because they wouldn't have checked me in anyway.
Right. Yeah. Or even if it hadn't, it could have just been, they would just assume someone else had checked you in the night before.
How memorable was I anyway?
How memorable were you anyway? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. That's a good question to leave on, I think.
Yeah.
How memorable are you?
This is something that's like sometimes when I'm like going to book a room for a hotel, it'll be like, how many guests will be in the room or whatever? And it's just like, you know, like if it was like me and Beth staying in a room or something, you know, it's like, because if you say two, it's going to cost more than if it costs one.
Right.
You know, but it's like, we only need one bed, you know?
Right.
It's
right,
like
right.
If there's a bed and it's like, well, if I just say one, how are we like, you know,
this is,
you know what I mean?
You're right. You know, no, I've had this before as well, where like a lot of times I'm like, if I change it to two, is it going to be more expensive? Like, are you charging me per person? Because like the two of us can sleep in that one bed that one person can sleep in just as well.
Right.
You know, so it's like, should there be an extra charge for that other person?
Yeah. Or like Airbnb is like maximum of like seven people. And I'd be like, but how are you going to know?
Yeah. I know. Well, so brother-in-law Mike does some Airbnb type stuff. And
yeah.
It is interesting to like hear the stories from the host's perspective,
mm-hmm.
because I've always been the same way. I'm sort of like a lot of times I'll even like check out and I'll be like, oh my gosh, should I even say how many people were in my party? Because it's like, there's like six bedrooms in this house. So it's like, surely it won't matter if I'm traveling with like six couples, because
right.
like there's plenty of room to go around, but I may have just said one person was staying at this six person house.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the six bedroom house. It's like, but obviously I wouldn't come and stay at this big of a house by myself.
Right.
does that go without saying, should I let them know?
Right.
So maybe I should, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm like learning from like being on the other side of it.
Right.
A little bit. It's like,
I know it's like one of those things where it feels like if like, it doesn't cost them any more for me. If like, you know, it like, from the customer end, you're like, if I say one, what I'm going to get is a room with a bed and a TV. And if I say two, what I'm going to get from them is a room with a bed and a TV, but it will cost more. So it doesn't feel like I'm getting any more for saying two, but it is costing me more. So like what it feels like you're being taken advantage of in some way, but it's like, but then I'm sure on there. And they're like, yeah, but that's twice as many showers and twice as many people who ate the food at the continental breakfast.
That's
and,
a good point.
You know, it's like there probably are considerations on their end.
Right.
And I imagine you're still coming out short on your end. But whatever. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I don't even know that it's always the case at a hotel that you do get booked.
I don't know either.
Just the example. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, guys, as ever, if you have any feedback for the show, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you would like to support the show, we would super appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You can do so by heading on over to patreon.com/popcornculture, where we have a variety of fun and cool tiers for you to explore and check out. One of the ones in particular would be After the Final Pop. It's just like an extra, it's extra content. So if you are like, man, I have caught up on the pop, or where I want to hear them talk about that more, or just want to hear them talk about more random stuff. That is like an extra 15 to 20 minutes we do every single week. Even if you just sign up for a single month, you get access to the entire back catalog, so you can go through and just kind of like tune in to all the things that we've said behind the scenes throughout the year. So
yeah,
lots and lots available there. So patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.